Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast with your host, Jackson Dibble and Todd McGill.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast. I'm your host, Jackson Dibble.
And I'm Todd McGill.
Welcome, everybody. This is a new episode we're going to do. It's new content, we're going to put it. Instead of doing Tuesday's picks and Wednesday's wagers this week, since it's such a weird week, we decided just to bring you a longer recap of the previous week, along with some information, some wagers we're going to make for this week. And then we're going to talk a lot about the U.S. Open for next week, because everybody excited for the U.S. Open. Nobody really cares about this week. So
yeah, I think this is pretty much just like a filler.
Yeah.
Like, we got to play this week, so let's just throw this in here. They couldn't do the RBC Canadian Open, which is what this event is replacing because of COVID.
Yep.
And it's kind of weird to see DJ and Brooks here.
Yeah, no, it is. I think they're just trying – obviously, they're just trying to get warmed up for everything, I guess.
Yeah.
But, okay, before we jump into all that, let's talk about recap of last week. Cantlay won. It was awesome. It was quite the playoff.
But yeah, it was great. Made for great TV, but the way it got there was just a complete wash.
So John Rahm had to withdraw due to COVID. Tested positive mid-round. There's a lot of backstories behind all this. Everybody's saying it got political really fast.
Yeah, I mean,
Everybody said, well, you're John Rahm, why aren't you vaccinated yet?
Yeah.
And then some say that he already was vaccinated.
He had already gotten the first shot, from what I understand.
And then others say that he willingly chose to go see a friend that he knew that had tested positive for COVID-19.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff. But all we know is that he had a 6-shot lead and he had to withdraw.
Yeah.
And the way they did it,
it was complete BS.
Nobody is excited about it. It's told him on 18 green. And then he started crying about it. And then his caddy slapped the camera down. I think it was ridiculous that they told him at 18 green.
Well, my whole thing is, if you're going to – why come out to the guy and tell him as he's walking off 18 green that he's tested positive for coronavirus, but not give the man a mask?
Yeah.
No, that was the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. You're going to tell him that, you know, you've got this virus that caused a worldwide pandemic, and then you're going to willingly let him walk through the entire crowd – with no mask on.
Yeah. Well, Nick Faldo is very upset about that. But this is a golf show, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to get political or anything like that. It just
I agree. The USGA and the people of that tournament handled it very poorly. It's simple as that.
Yeah.
It's really just the USGA.
Well, and I don't understand. I mean, golf's a non-contact sport. It's outside.
Right.
It's one of the very few activities that's actually thrived through this whole – thing. Why you couldn't make special accommodations to let the man keep playing?
I don't know. It goes back and forth in so many ways. He tested positive, so I don't think they could have made accommodations, because then you're purposely putting everyone else at risk.
You could just have him play by himself.
You could, but I mean, the caddies have to be involved. They have to go and sign scorecards at the end. They would have to put in a lot of different implications in order to make that happen.
True.
And plus, that would look really bad if they did that, because then you're just accommodating because it's John Rahm and he has a 6-shot lead. What about like Danny Willett when he had to withdraw 3 weeks ago? Why couldn't he just play with COVID? Why did he have to withdraw?
True.
So then it turns into a real political debate after that. Then you're just focusing on Rahm, and that would look really bad.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, 6-shot lead, and he probably would have won.
I mean, that's literally like having a 2-lap lead at the Daytona 500, and then the pace car just coming out and wrecking you.
Yeah.
Like, literally out of nowhere. Yeah. Because, I mean, isn't Rahm like the second ranked player in the world?
He's your second or third. I know, I think JT's second. But maybe Rahm. I think it goes Dustin, JT, Rahm. Or it could be Dustin, Rahm, JT now. Either or.
I mean, there's no way in my mind that I think he chokes that if he gets to play.
No, I think he would have won.
And I think Cantlay knew it. Morikawa. Everybody that played Sunday's round knew they pretty much got handed
yeah
a chance to win the golf tournament.
It was kind of weird because you'd think most – I mean, Cantlay is not really one to show many emotions, but he seemed really just like, yeah, thanks, I won, appreciate it. Like, he definitely yeah. knew.
Right.
So, I mean, I think everybody knew. But, I mean, it's is what it is. It wasn't meant to be.
Right.
But circling back to Cantlay, let's talk about the putt that he made on 17 during the rain delay. The quote-unquote rain delay.
I forgot I forgot to write that down in my notes. That was a
– The fans, first of all,
that was a fiasco.
Delay, yeah, the fans were livid.
I would be too.
Yeah. No, I was. They should have kept playing.
I mean, they're out there getting drenched.
No, they should have kept playing.
Yeah.
They just stopped it just because it was them. I mean, they
pretty much.
They should have kept playing.
That's the special treatment that the tour guys get.
There's a lot of errors in this tournament this week.
That literally no other golf group gets. I mean,
yeah.
You know, in all the collegiate events that I played in, and we never stopped because of a downpour. We stopped if it was thundering and lightning outside.
I understand it's a tour player and stuff, but also those guys are both tied for the lead, and it's the second to last hole. They should have kept playing.
Yeah.
That was – Like I said, a lot of errors came out of this week. But Cantlay drained that putt.
Oh, that was massive. And then Morikawa stepped up and drained that, like, 12-footer to save par, too. Yeah. That was huge.
When Cantlay gets going, he's just ice in his veins going. I mean, he gets pretty dirty.
Same with Morikawa. I mean,
Morikawa is extremely clutch.
Yeah, I'll give it to both of them. They didn't fold underneath the pressure. I mean, yeah, they – coming down 18, they both – played that hole kind of bad, but they both made nervous. Great up and downs. And yeah.
No, it was really fun to watch. We were both rooting for Cantlay because we talked about him last week. I didn't write down all of our picks that we had last week, but just to let you all know, I hope you guys listened.
Yeah, very solid week.
We did extremely well last week.
Yeah.
The only one that killed me was Emiliano Grillo missing the cut. I had to betray the podcast, and I had to make a DraftKings team last week, and so I did. And I was in 300th out of 60,000 people at one point, and that was with Emiliano Grillo that had missed the cut. So if I just had one guy that didn't miss the cut, I would have made a lot more money. But right. No, Grillo, your boy. I don't like him.
You crack me up. I was at work, and I get a text from Jackson. It goes, I'm never playing Grillo ever again on anything.
Probably more explicit than that, but
yeah, well,
I was livid.
Keep it PG.
Yeah. Cantlay, Raw, good win. Rom had the withdrawal. The fans booing during the rain delay. Is it just me or is the fans seem way more rowdy than they ever have this season.
Yeah.
Like the PGA
this golf tournament seemed like Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, no, like their fans are just going at it, and I kind of understand why. Maybe just because we haven't had golf in a while, but again, like this is maybe the cameras and the mics are just picking up more than they usually do. But the fans are absolutely wild this year.
Yeah,
and sometimes it's really cool to see. Like I agree, boo the rain delay.
Yeah,
boo it. I agree, but then like what was it a few weeks ago? Oh, well, just for example, I've written down here, the fans yelling Brooksy at Bryson.
Hilarious.
Deserved, but hilarious. Not deserved for what happened. It deserves to be yelled at Bryson.
Right.
They got kicked out. They got escorted out. And
yeah.
And Brooks turns around and offers them beer. And
see, and that goes back to what I said last week about this whole thing seeming so disingenuous. Because if you have ever listened to Brooks in any interview or any...
Are you going to talk about his video?
Yes.
It was
he is the most boring person that I've ever heard on an interview, and then all of a sudden he comes on Instagram and goes, "Hey, guys, it's Brooksy."
It's Brooksy.
I'm like, "What? Who is this guy?"
No, I don't know what happened there. We were all... I was talking about that to a few friends. It was awkward.
It was. It was the most awkward thing I've ever watched.
It was very uncomfortable.
I'm like, You literally bore me to tears when I watch you in interviews,
yeah.
And then you come on and you're just this, like, lively guy, like, you know, "Hey, guys, it's Brooksy, man. I'm sorry you guys got kicked out of the tournament. Here's a free case of beer on me."
So many people are saying either, A, he's just doing – actually, two reasons why I heard. One, he's doing that solely because of that $40 million purse we talked about. And B, someone else said that his fiance is taking over his Instagram, so he's turning into an influencer. That's why he's doing that.
Oh.
It's Brooksy.
I mean, yeah, even Bryson commented on it because they asked him if it bothered him, and he said it didn't, which it clearly did if you're having people escorted off the premises.
Bryson definitely looked at his caddy like, get these guys out of here.
Right, and which to me that's hilarious considering you're the guy that's saying it's nice living rent-free in your head.
Yeah.
And you got, you know, you're kicking people out of a golf tournament for yelling Brooksy at you.
That. There's no way. Like, it had to have been him, like, saying, like, hey, get these guys out of here.
Right. But Bryson, in, like, one of the post-round interviews, was talking about that he literally explicitly said that this whole back-and-forth thing is so good for this player impact program.
Yeah, they're gonna
so even he knows, yes, that's what this is about. I mean, I love the riffraff that this is causing and, you know, the beef and whatever, but, God, it would be so much better if this whole, you know, player impact thing was kept under wraps.
Yeah, more or less.
It would make this whole thing seem a lot better.
Brooks was all over Instagram and Twitter a couple of days ago as well because, you know, Dave Portney chimed in, the Barstool owner.
Yeah.
And Dave Portney found Brooks at, like, some event they were all at. And Brooks was, like, in not, like, the upper decks, but, like, a little higher up. And Portney was down on, what's it called?
Oh, so Brooks was in the nosebleeds.
Like,
and
court view, I guess. Right. Court side, duh. And he found Brooks, and he said, you can't even afford to be down here.
Oh, wow.
They just start, like, going at each other. And Brooks is, like, doing, like, a fake laugh the whole time. And then Portney, you can tell Portney's, like, treating him like the NFL guy. it was, I don't know about the whole Instagram, Twitter, like, popular on social media thing. I mean, clearly Bryson or Brooks is going to win. And at this point, I think it's going to be Brooks.
Yeah, I think he's currently winning this little back and forth beef thing, whatever you want to call it.
Take a little turn here. I want to talk a little bit about the Memorial Tournament, actually.
Okay.
The golf course itself.
Okay.
It is extremely good shape.
Oh, fantastic.
That's except for the players and except for the Masters, that's probably the nicest course I've ever seen a course look. And that was just on TV.
Yeah.
And I wrote down here, I said, this is Jack's baby.
It is his
baby. He loves this place. And even Mark Leishman came out and talked about how, like, the turf is almost changing every year. They don't physically change it, but he said it's just, like, there's a dramatic difference on, like, the quality this place takes every year. And it's been around for a hot minute.
Well, it was crazy last year. Literally, the Memorial wasn't even over last year, and he was already on the front nine ripping greens up.
Yeah.
And, like, making alterations in the tournament wasn't even over.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I think the Memorial is going to – I said it last week. The Memorial is one of my favorite golf tournaments of the year, and I think it's just going to continue to keep growing as large as that.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty fun week last week. It was Scotty Scheffler looked like he could have snuck in there at one point, but he really just lost it.
Yeah. Yeah, him, Brandon Grace, they all kind of made a push, but
I did not expect.
Wasn't really enough.
I knew Brandon Grace wasn't going to make it, but he never gets all the way up there. He doesn't.
Unless it's the Puerto Rico Open.
Yeah, with, like, a field like this week.
Right.
The field, yeah, there's our transition. the field this week is not good.
Hold on, I got one more thing I want to talk about from last week.
Okay, read back my transition. Go ahead.
Okay. It doesn't really have anything to do with the PJ Tour. I kind of want to just talk about the Women's U.S. Open a little bit.
Okay.
Did you watch any of it?
Some. I saw Lexi Thomas destroyed the third day Saturday, and then she just absolutely let it go on
complete
Sunday.
Collapse.
Yeah, it was bad.
So if you didn't watch, Yuka Saso won the Women's U.S. Open. She becomes the first major champion from the Philippines.
Huh.
So that was pretty cool. She's got this, like, little connection with Rory McIlroy. Apparently,
yeah,
she said in an interview that she basically grew up watching Rory swing.
Yeah.
And, they had, like, a little back-and-forth thing right before she went out and won on Sunday.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the bigger storyline, I feel like, at least for people in the U.S., is definitely Lexi Thompson. She blew a five-shot lead with nine holes to go. She shot 41 on the back nine.
That's terrible.
That's
what happens? Like, what? I mean, it's not like all of a sudden you just start getting that nervous. Like, what happens?
I don't know. I think the nerves just got her.
The yips all of a sudden.
Yeah, there was like I said, I didn't follow it intensively. I watched a little bit of the recap today before, you know, we started recording, and there was a hole I want to say is like hole 14 or 15. She's literally got it, I think, 30 or 40 yards from the green. She hits it 20 yards short of the green.
Wow.
Like, just a complete flub.
Wow.
And then she proceeds to putt from there. Like, she hit a couple putts off the green that was, like, 12 yards short of the green, because I guess she was just so nervous of, you know, duffing a chip or whatever.
Right.
But I think the reason why I really want to talk about it was just because I think, you know, obviously the women's golf does not get near as much recognition as the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
And I think this was a really good chance for the United States to really get behind women's golf.
Yeah. I mean,
because, you know, it's not that women's golf is bad. It's just, I don't know, for somebody in the United States, it's really hard to, at least for me.
It's not nearly as well known.
Well, and it's really hard for me to watch a game that's dominated by people from different countries.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of reasons why women's golf is the way it is. One, in America-wise, there's not many amazing Americans.
Right.
There's a lot of great ones, don't get me wrong, but there are mainly countries that are not the U.S. dominate the LPGA.
Right.
But the other thing is, though, too, I mean, some people talk about it, is that in PGA Tour, the men can just dominate the golf courses, even, no matter the length, no matter what it is. And that's kind of the thing you look at. I mean, it happens in PGA Tour as well, but most of the women courses, I mean, not courses, women LPGA, there's not many, like, women that, like, stand out as in, like, a bomber.
Right.
There are, of course, a few, obviously. Yeah. But, like, it's pretty well even all around, which makes it more exciting because anybody can win an LPGA tournament, it seems like. Like, literally anyone.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, it's for United States-wise, there's not that many Americans that are great. And even for other countries, I mean, Asia holds it all.
Yeah, Asia, really. South Korea.
It's amazing in Asia. Reviews are amazing. But when it comes to the United States, it's just not nearly as popular because we don't have as many people of our country supporting it. That's how it is at the Olympics. It's not stereotypical or anything with what we're saying. We're not favoring anybody else. It's just the fact that we would support the Americans on our side because they're American.
Right.
It's like the Olympics. I support the Americans in the Olympics.
Right.
So, I mean, it's all it is. But, I mean, the LPGA does deserve a lot more recognition than it does. But Alexi Thomas blew that for this week.
I think that was a bigger letdown than being excited for Sasso's win for me, at least.
It is kind of nice, though, this past season for PGA Tour. A lot of the PGA Tour guys are really trying to
get behind the LPGA.
Like, raise awareness and get behind the LPGA, right, which is really nice to see. I would love for the LPGA to blow up.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. But, all right.
Now
let's transition to this weird golf course we have. The show almost got political, but it didn't. We're at Congaree Golf Club this week. I think that's how you say it.
I think so.
Everybody knows I'm the worst person at pronouncing things. It's 77 yards long. It's long. It's a long golf
77?
Course. 7,700.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. It's just 77.
Yeah, you get long putter everywhere.
Yeah. It's Bermuda everywhere. It's really interesting. So, like Todd said earlier, this is a one-time event, and it's in place of the RBC Canada Open due to COVID. COVID ruined that. So, this place is taking on the one-time event, and it could hold future to more events. I think it depends how this week goes.
Yeah.
But this place is weird.
It looks very Kapalua, or not Kapalua, but Kiawah Island-esque.
So, yeah, I had to read a lot about this because I'd never heard of it, never did anything.
Right.
This place was designed with an Australian golf course in mindset, apparently. There, in the original construction, they literally just picked a forest, put themselves in the middle of the forest, and they destroyed like 2,000 trees just in this, like, right in the middle of the forest, and just threw a golf course on it. And if you look at the golf course, like, at the holes that are, like, on the edges of the property, every single one is nothing but trees everywhere. Like, it's literally just in the middle of the forest. Like, it's crazy. If you get they'll show the overhead view this week, I'm sure, but it's literally just smack dab in the middle of the forest. Huh. It's so random. And apparently, I was reading up on Golf Pass because some people, it's not necessarily public, but people have played there, obviously. And people say it's just in stupid nice shape because not many people play there.
Right.
It's
like founded by billionaires or something like that, wasn't it?
The backstory behind it is two billionaires actually made this club, and it's called Congaree because there's a charity that's it's called Congaree Charity, something like that. But it's a charity for kids and things. And in order for you to be a member of this golf course, you have to donate a certain amount that the golf course requires. That amount is not public. You have to donate that number of money to this charity, and then you are granted a membership to this golf course. So, really nice of the billionaire people to make it. I don't know how they make money.
Right, yeah.
I don't know how it all does that. But there's sand waste everywhere.
Yeah.
There's sand everywhere. The fairways are super narrow. It's Bermuda, so it goes back and forth. And there's no cart paths.
Yeah, literally
it's just
nowhere.
Sand paths.
Yeah.
So, I bet, I worked at Oxlope a little bit ago, and setting up some of those tents and stuff was already hard enough. I cannot imagine not having cart paths and trying to set up things there. That would be a living nightmare.
Yeah.
I'm really curious, honestly, like, where the patrons go, where all the bleachers are going to go. It's weird. His place is super, it's in the middle of forest. There's no room but there besides a golf course. Like, there's no open space. It's just golf course. I don't even see a parking lot on the overhang thing. I clear there's a parking lot somewhere. That's the thing. It's so well mapped out foot by foot exactly where everything is. I don't know where they're going to put bleachers. I don't know where the players are going. It's the director of operations there is going to have a tough time. It's, I don't know, but it could be an exciting week. We told you guys we're going to talk a little bit about players, but nobody's played this course before.
Nope. The only thing I found, and I'm not exactly sure, I can't remember what they called him, but apparently Lucas Glover has ties to this golf course.
Oh, that's random.
But it's super long.
Maybe he donated to that charity.
Possibly. But what I read earlier, Lucas Glover pretty much is the only player in this field that has any ties to this course whatsoever. So maybe that he might be a decent play
in
DFS stuff.
Could be.
I'm probably just going to take the week off, get ready for the U.S. Open.
Yeah, I'm saving my money in my accounts this week.
I mean, because if you can have a good week this week, I feel like it's got to be just pure luck.
Yeah. No, the only – I have three bets this week that I'm making. Two of them are on the same guy. Brooks Koepka, I'm betting him top five for plus 225, and Brooks Koepka for top 10 plus 110. Because one, it's Brooks. The media is circling him right now, and I think he's kind of taking a Patrick Reed aspect to it. He's like fired up from it. He loves all the positive and negative things coming at him. And in history, I could show you all the history of it, but there's like 40 tournaments. Every single tournament, like before a major, Brooks just turns it on. He doesn't necessarily win, but he just turns it on.
Right.
And that's how his game works. I could see Brooks top five or top ten here just because it's Brooks. It's before the U.S. Open. And I know for a fact Brooks wants to kill it this week because, one, it's a major. Two, it's Torrey Pines, which he could probably tear up. And three,
all the spotlight's on him.
All the spotlight. And then four, he wants to beat Bryson. He's got to beat Bryson.
Right.
It's nothing would make me happier to see Bryson and Brooks paired in the final group of the U.S. Open, like going back and forth trying to win. That would be the coolest major ever.
If the USGA has any, like,
never mind. I probably shouldn't say that part.
I was going to say Kahuna's.
Yeah. Well,
they got to pair them together.
Todd is saying all of this, not me.
back to this week, though, you know, just from the pictures that I've seen, it, like I said, it looks a lot like Kiawa Island. Kiawa Island.
Kiowa. I corrected you on a saying.
Kiawea. But yeah, it looks a lot like the PGA Championship that we just played at. So, you know, going back to everything you just said about why you think Brooks is going to play well here, he's got that connection that he might be able to make from just two weeks ago. So
it's long. It's kind of weird if you read about it. They have caddies at this golf course just naturally. And It's all the caddies, and apparently people have played there, so this is one of the easiest courses to walk.
It's 7,700. I mean, it's in South Carolina. It's got to be flat as crap.
That's the thing. It's 7,700 yards long, but it's very flat. So I don't think it's going to be – I don't think it's going to be that tough of a week. I don't know. We've never seen this golf course.
Right.
But circling back, my third pick of the week, just because he loves Bermuda, is Keith Mitchell, top 10, plus 350, but he might not even play this week.
Yeah, he did just qualify for the U.S. Open, so right.
So he might not play. But I feel like he – I don't think Keith Mitchell has a PGA Tour card secured for that much longer. He won, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah, he won the Honda Classic.
But a win doesn't secure you forever, obviously.
I want to say he won that in, like, 2018.
I think it was 2019, I think.
So, yeah, if that's the case, then, yeah, he's almost got up. It's up at the end of this year.
And I'm sure all the top 10s and 5s and stuff he's got has probably helped him a little bit. But I'd feel like his tour card is probably up for just going away within the next year or two.
Right.
So I think he'll probably take the chance to play in every tournament he gets.
I mean, he's not doing that great if he's got to qualify for the U.S. Open.
Exactly. Keith Mitchell, top 10, plus 350. Ricky Fowler had to qualify, and he did not qualify.
I heard I think Phil Mickelson was going to have to qualify too.
Oh, no, he got a sponsor exemption. Or he got invitation or whatever. And then his whole career he's talked about how he doesn't want the handout of going into a tournament. And then the second he gets one, he's like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll take it.
Well, he won the PGA Championship, so he's automatically in. So
true.
I think
– But before that
– Yeah. He sent out a tweet or something that says, I honorably give my exemption to Ricky Fowler.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Some other guys that qualified. Local boy, Peter Malnati. Hopefully he plays well. Tough season for him so far.
Yeah.
It's been tough. But exciting part about Peter is that the one tournament, literally the one tournament he has played well in this season was at Torrey Pines.
Yeah.
That was literally the only tournament he's played well in this year. I hate to say it, but it's just what it is. Was he top 10 that week? What week was it? Farmers Insurance Open, 10th. That was the only tournament he's played well in. He's missed a cut every single other tournament besides one this year. But he had a top 10 at the Farmers Insurance Open, which is Torrey.
Right.
So he might not be the worst pick. God blessed he is going to be an underdog.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I guarantee you.
He's going to be plus like 10,000.
Oh, yeah.
Not more.
I don't know. I probably won't take him to win, but oh my God, that'd be so cool. but like Peter Malnati, like top 30, probably going to be like plus 700. Top 30.
Yeah.
I'll jump on that in a heartbeat.
Plus another local guy that qualified. He actually won the qualifier was Davis Shore.
Davis Shore. We know him.
Kind of, yeah.
I know him.
I know of him. I've hit balls next to him before.
Right. Do you know him?
Yeah. local player.
Yeah,
local went to boy. Alabama.
Yeah. Boo.
Yeah, that's ugh.
Yuck.
you literally growed up in the shadows of University of Tennessee, yeah. And you go to the biggest rival.
Yeah. Another, not the local guy, but he won the Knoxville Open, was Grayson Sigg.
Yep.
I do know him. I have a picture with him. won't continue that. But yeah, Grayson Sigg qualified. I don't know if he's going to do well. I really have no idea. Paul and friend make the cut. We'll say that. But it sounds like we're not talking about this week anymore. So let's talk just straight U.S. Open because we don't know that much about this week, honestly. And no one does. So all the other podcasts you're listening to, we're the best ones. Just listen to us because they don't know either.
Yeah, I'll just throw out real quick my wagers for the week. I've got Richie Wierenski top 20. Plus 280.
Wow.
Simply because he finished, I think, like tied 38th at the PGA Championship.
Okay.
And my other guy's Vincent Whaley, top 40, is plus 120.
You love Vincent Whaley.
He's been my ride or die every event he's played in for the last like 3 months, and he's won me money every single week.
God, keep doing it.
I'm just going to keep on riding the train.
Love it. All right, let's talk a little bit of U.S. Open. It's next week, Torrey Pines. It's really interesting because everybody's complaining about how Torrey Pines has already been played this year, the Farmers Insurance Open. I say everybody. It's just a few people that I know personally that are complaining about it. And you know exactly who you are if you're listening. But there is a huge difference between membership Torrey Pines versus Farmers Insurance Torrey Pines and then U.S. Open Torrey Pines.
Yeah.
There's a massive difference between all three of them.
Yeah.
The U.S. Open is going to be drastically harder than what we saw during the Farmers Insurance or any member sees at Torrey Pines. Are they even allowed membership at Torrey Pines?
I think so. I mean, they're a public golf course, so.
They have probably some kind of membership
thing. Yeah.
But I'm really excited for it. Now, it's kind of too early for us to start making picks, but I've said it a few times, I think Victor Hovland might have a shot.
Yeah.
I like it. He finished second, but his short game's not very good. And these are tougher conditions, so it might be kind of hard. But on my paper here, I wrote Rom question mark.
Yeah, when I looked earlier, he's now the favorite by a pretty big margin.
But as of right now, he is not in the U.S. Open.
Right. I think he's slated to be able to return. His 10-day quarantine or whatever ends literally the Wednesday before the tournament starts.
So what I've been reading is that John Rahm will do a rapid test for COVID in the morning. And then whether he's positive or negative, I think if he's negative, he's allowed to like kind of start packing. And then right before he boards his plane to come here, he has to test again. And then he's got to test again when he arrives, too.
Right.
But rumor is that if he's fine, he's going to show up the Wednesday before the tournament and then get out there, which I 100% think Rom could and probably would win this U.S. Open. But is that enough time? I don't know. I don't know. He just had a new baby. His wife is probably freaking out that he has COVID.
Yeah.
So what is he doing right now? Is he in a quarantine? Is he on the range by himself? Because he's not seeing his wife and kid right now because he has COVID.
Right.
So I don't know if he's going to mentally prepare himself for it, how he's going to prepare himself, but I'd still 100% could see Rom winning this U.S. Open.
Oh, he loves Torrey Pines.
He's won there before.
But I don't know if he's having to go in complete isolation. I mean, that's literally a week and a half, no practice, no nothing, and then you're going to try to go out and win a major?
I don't know. I really don't know. And it's U.S. Open, too.
Yeah.
U.S. Open, in my opinion, U.S.
The
Open.
The hardest golf setup
yes.
in the world.
Yes. And it's – I really don't know. I would love to say Rom was going to win. And I think Rom goes top 10. But I don't know. Is that enough? First of all, it's not enough time at Torrey. We know that. He loves Torrey. He knows it, but still.
Right.
It's U.S. Open conditions. It's way different.
Yeah. From what I watched of Rom before, you know, the whole fiasco happened on Saturday afternoon, that was probably the calmest I've ever seen him on a golf tournament.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's kind of one of those players where you're watching him, you're almost kind of waiting for not necessarily a train wreck to happen, but you're kind of waiting for something bad to go wrong and for him to, like, spaz out.
He was just having a good time.
He was having a fantastic time. You could tell he was just so calm and confident.
Birdie hole in one. So, I mean, who's not having a good time?
Right.
I mean, it was cool to watch, but again, the withdrawal. But I think there's a few guys this week that I want to mention that I think are extremely overrated this week. Not this week, sorry, U.S. Open. I don't think Bryson DeChambeau is going to play great at all. I don't think so. I feel like his techniques and stuff are going to get him into a lot of trouble at Torrey. I know he won the U.S. Open with his techniques, but that was a completely different golf course than Torrey Pines.
Yeah.
I don't see Bryson. I might not even see Bryson in the top 20, to be honest. I might eat my words. That's what this place is, hot takes.
Yeah.
I don't see Bryson playing that well. Tony Finau had a second there this year. I don't know if I see Tony Finau playing that well. And then a little bit of people are hype around him. Scottie Scheffler, scary.
Yeah.
He's always scary. But those are kind of just three guys I think that are kind of going a little bit overhyped right now. Jordan Spieth is the second highest favorite, by the way.
Isn't he? He's kind of tied right now, sort of, with DJ.
Which is why?
I don't understand.
DJ is going to have to win this golf tournament for me to prove that he'll even sneak in the top 20 next week.
Yeah.
Because he's playing horrible. He's playing terrible.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to do something drastic to change that. That's the other thing, though, too. Rom, so I think Rom's, like we said earlier, Rom's third in the world, maybe second. If Rom wins the U.S. Open, does he go to first? I think he would.
I don't know. I don't really exactly know how the
world rankings are. So it's so weird how they do it. It would take like an hour to explain. You know, my dad's probably listening to this, and he could probably tell us in like 30 seconds. But I don't think the DJ should be number one anymore. But again, JT and John Rahm are up there, and they're both not doing themselves any favors. So I don't know. What do you got to say about the U.S. Open?
I'm really curious to see if Phil can at least give it a run.
You think?
I mean, Torrey's his home golf course.
You think he knows he's done? You think he's done?
I don't know. I thought he was done 2 years ago.
I think he might turn into like a celebrity on the Champions Tour.
It's a pipe dream to think that Phil can go back to back in majors at 50.
If that happened, this world would be shook. Tiger would be pissed.
He'd be coming out like, I don't care what I got to do. You could put me in a wheelchair and make me just.
Yeah, Tiger's really going to say, cut this leg off. Let's go.
Give me a prosthetic. Yeah. I'm going to get back out there.
I'd be livid, too.
That's kind of, you know, the main storyline I'm kind of watching this week. Just because, you know, why the heck not? The other one is kind of confusing me a little bit. I would think Patrick Reed would be a bigger favorite than he is.
Because he won there this year?
Right.
Kind of.
He's plus 2,900 currently.
That's right. I said kind of.
But he's like the 12th man down from, you know, Ron being the favorite. And then 12 guys down, you got Patrick Reed.
I can see Reed top 10. Maybe. I don't know. I feel like Reed doesn't ever play well in the U.S. Open. Besides, like, two finishes he's had. But, I mean, I don't.
He's just a grinder.
He overthinks everything.
He's just a grinder.
Yeah, well, in the U.S. Open's very, I mean, it's very difficult, obviously. Like, Patrick Harrington came out and said about the PGA Championship. He said it was like, he said this is one of the best setups he's ever seen. He said it was one of the easiest setups that he's seen. Patrick Harrington said that. And he said because if you really just think, if you step back, dial it in, the PGA Championship, there was a lot of setups to where if you just not play so aggressive or you just play really conservative and some here, and it's set up very well to some people. Patrick Harrington said he's pretty much a legend.
Yeah.
And I think Patrick Reed overthinks a lot of things. I could see him top 10. I could.
But I definitely don't think he goes back to back, you know, wins the Farmers and then turns around and wins the U.S. Open the same year.
That'd be something. I don't think he does either. But as of right now, just off the top of your head, who's your favorite to win the U.S. Open? Tough question.
I'm kind of like you. I feel like Victor Hovland's got a pretty good shot.
Yeah. You can give me two or three if you need to. I honestly think I'll take over for you in a minute. I think Victor is one of my picks this week. And honestly, Brooks could play pretty well. I don't know. Brooks is kind of scary, but I don't know why. I know he just came off the win, but I think Patrick Cantlay might play extremely well. Patrick Cantlay seems to be a very consistent player. If he's playing terrible, it stays terrible.
Right, and I mean, I'm pretty sure he's a West Coast guy.
Yeah.
And he kind of, you know, from the short run that he's had on his career so far, it seems like the West Coast is kind of where he really tunes it in.
Yeah, I agree. Probably right now, the week before, I would say Victor Hovland's probably my favorite going in, which is bold.
Yeah. Obviously, I think Xander, he's always got the potential to show up.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you said, I don't really like DJ, and I don't really like JT all that much. JT's not playing very good at all either.
He's really just out there right now. I don't know why either.
Obviously, I'll probably like Will Zalatoris just because.
Oh, yeah, fair.
Shane Lowry's kind of
– he's an open guy.
I don't understand how he's such a favorite. He's literally below Patrick Reed. He's the 13th most favored player in this field.
I know something we don't, apparently. Like I said, it was a week before. We haven't done any research yet, so.
Right.
But, I don't know. I could like Shane Lowry this week or next week. I keep saying this week. I could definitely like him. Take Grayson Sigg. Knoxville Open winner.
Davis Shore.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to be a really exciting U.S. Open. Torrey Pines is one of the most exciting U.S. Opens you can ask for.
I mean, you've literally got the legend from 2008 with Tiger and Rocco. I don't think anything would ever top that for me, at least.
No. I mean,
Tiger's win in 2019, the Masters was amazing.
That was probably the best win I've ever seen, personally.
You know, Tiger's. Comeback-wise, it's the best comeback ever. But as far as, like, storylines and just how everything culminated to the 18-hole playoff with him and Rocco, you know, Tiger being on a broken freaking leg.
Yeah.
Rocco being literally on the eves of joining the Champions Tour at that point.
Yeah.
That was the greatest golf story I've ever witnessed, yeah. I think.
I think the 2019 Masters win Tiger is probably the greatest sports moment I've ever witnessed.
Yeah.
Ever, which is a lot for say to me because I'm a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I was just raised that way. And when the Steelers won the Super Bowl against the Cardinals, you know, they intercepted the ball in the end zone and ran it all the way back.
Right.
That was my biggest sports moment in history. Now it's number two, I would probably say.
Right.
But now it's Tiger. I mean, I guess, like you're saying, Torrey Pines is just – it's awesome.
Yeah.
I love this golf course. But it's going to be a really exciting week for the U.S. Open, I think. And we got a lot of episodes. We got two episodes for you guys next week, hopefully. Depends how our schedules work. We work full-time jobs, so we got to do that.
We do the best we can.
Yeah, we do the absolute best we can. You got anything else to say?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, different episode this week. Hope you guys liked it. If you didn't, don't tell me. If you liked it, tell me. 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I only want good things. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Morning Molly. And we enjoyed this. I personally enjoyed this episode.
I thought it was very fun.
Hope you guys enjoyed it. Might see more of this. We'll see. And we'll see you guys next week for the U.S. Open on Tuesday. Goodbye.